This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hey folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 62 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on April 20th, 2015. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the large Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I am not joined this week by my good buddy Peter Mandel. Pete had an unfortunate incident arise, personally, and was not able to record tonight, but I found a replacement, folks. Folks, we're two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Okay, so folks, you've heard me talk a lot about my family and what my family's meant to me with my Disney obsession over the years. Well, one person you've heard me talk about quite a bit has been, my Disney partner in crime since childhood, I think it would. Wouldn't you say that would be about accurate?
I'd say that's pretty accurate.
You've often heard me speak of my cousin Chris, who is a Disney cast member, has been for quite some time, and was most recently accomplished both of our childhood dreams of being a skipper on the Jungle Cruise, and has held many different titles and positions with the Disney company throughout the last... how long have you been there now?
4 years now.
4 years, yeah. Folks, without any further ado, I want to extend a big... friendly Two Men and the Mouse, welcome to my cousin, Chris Payonk. Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on the show, man. I mean, we've been talking Disney since we were little kids. I mean, now we just kind of get to do it in a more public forum. Chris, tell the audience a little bit about, like, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about where your Disney passion started, and how you got to work at Disney and what you've done there over the years.
I'm sure a lot of people who grew up around the same time as us, the entertainment center in my house was full of big, squishy VHS cases full of classic Disney animation.
Yeah, those big, awesome white boxes. I still have a few of those.
Even just thinking about them, they're in New Jersey now, and I'm down in Orlando, but I can still smell them.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
No. They definitely had a certain
very distinctive smell.
Yeah, they did. They definitely did.
It's just that it's always had a really strong memory for me. And, you know, going to the parks growing up helped to reinforce that a lot. We were really fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of came to work for the company by accident.
Really? It was by accident?
Yeah, I was offered a full-time job in New York after graduation, and something just didn't feel right about it. So I applied for a college program, and I...
And you got accepted right away?
I got accepted, and I turned down the full-time job in New York. And it turns out 2 months after I started on the college program, the museum actually had some financial troubles and laid off half the staff.
Oh, wow. So
and my job would have been one of the ones eliminated.
Wow, so that was like a premonition.
It's a little bit of magic.
Yeah.
That worked its way into my life. So I'm really fortunate.
Let's detail some of the positions that you've held in your time down there.
Gosh. I started in 2011 as a boat captain in transportation. I drove the boats that went from the Magic Kingdom to the Transportation and Ticket Center and the hotels, the Magic Kingdom Resort hotels.
So is it like the giant ferry boat or was it like the smaller?
I was a deckhand on the ferry boats, and then I drove some of the smaller boats that go to, you know, the different local resorts.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of training? I'm sure there's a lot of training involved in that.
Each one of the boats takes about a week or so of on-the-job training.
Great.
And it's really cool.
And then from there, did you move to guest relations?
I did. I did a professional internship at Hollywood Studios Guest Relations.
Yeah, and folks, Chris is the greatest person to go to Hollywood Studios with because he knows everything.
You know the Imagineer's Guide to Hollywood Studios. I've committed probably about 90% of it to memory.
Yeah, I mean, like that one day, the one day that we went together to Hollywood Studios, I was shocked at. She's just like, oh, by the way, this means this and this means that, and like a lot of the Hollywood Studios info that I know came from that trip. And came from you, you know, telling us about that. And
if there's anybody who's a fan of the classic film Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that was Michael Eisner's favorite. That was Michael Eisner's baby when he was at Disney, and he tried to make Roger Rabbit into the next Mickey Mouse.
Right, didn't work.
So it didn't work at all. But there's two hidden Roger Rabbits at Hollywood Studios that are my favorite things to point out to people. One of them's backstage, so unless you're a cast member or part of some sort of program or like a rental, some sort of an event or something like that.
Right.
You probably won't get to see that one. It's Roger bursting through a water tower.
Oh, that's cool.
Like through a brick wall. And then the other one, right above the main entrance to Hollywood and Vine, is a set of blinds in the window, and it's Roger bursting through the blinds. And then next to it is Eddie Valiant Private Eye on the window.
Right. That one I've seen. You pointed that one out to me last time, I believe. Yeah. And that's actually a direct scene from the movie, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. Too bad there's no peanuts from Dumbo.
No peanuts to throw to Dumbo. But so then from guest relations, is that when you went to the archives?
No, I went to recreation after that. I worked in the marinas and the cabanas and renting golf carts and different things like that at Fort Wilderness, Wilderness Lodge, and the Contemporary.
Okay.
After that, I was at the Hollywood Studios parking lot. Mm-hmm. That was one of the best jobs I've had for Disney.
Really?
Most people are pretty surprised when I say that.
Not even in the park. Like that was like one of the high ends.
Let me tell you. It's a lot of fun driving those trams.
Oh, really?
I had a really good time.
You know, you're probably getting most guests right there at the peak of their excitement as they're getting to Hollywood Studios at that point.
Yeah, you get them. You get to see the full end of the spectrum. Like, if you work a really long shift, you can see the kids coming in the morning. They're bopping with excitement, and they're so ready to go. And then you see them coming out at the end of the night, and they are just passed out in a Disney coma in their strollers. And
right.
It makes you appreciate, you know, the experience that all the guests have that you kind of sometimes lose sight of as a cast member.
And from there, you go to the archives?
From there, I went to the marketing department's library. It was a multimedia archivist, and I helped them with a new software system that they were installing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for about 2 years.
Okay.
Just a little under 2 years. And I really enjoyed doing that. I got to see a lot of really neat stuff. I cataloged the majority of the photography and B-roll for the Disney Fantasy when it came out while I was there.
Oh, that's cool.
And pretty much anything that was mailed to your house, whether it was a vacation planning DVD or a buck slip or a postcard or a thank you note or anything like that, it came across my desk because
I was in charge of the
printing collateral while I was there. That was a lot of fun.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. That was fun. And then after that, that was a temporary assignment. That was for the length of a project. And when the project ended, the money from my position went away.
Uh-huh.
So after that, I went back to the parking lot at Hollywood Studios for a little bit. And then I transferred over to Pirates of the Caribbean and the Jungle Cruise.
Yes. And then you were Skipper Crispy for a while, right?
I was Skipper Crispy.
Yeah.
One of the better moments of my life.
Yeah. And
telling bad jokes to plastic animals.
Yeah. And you met Pete.
I did meet Pete. Unfortunately, Pete couldn't ride Pete didn't have the chance to ride my boat.
Yeah, no, he told me, but he said he met you.
We stood talking for a while.
That's great.
It was really fun to see him.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So next time I'm up at home, I have to stop into Rogue Comics. And
yeah, you totally do.
Check that out.
Yeah. And now what about your current position?
My current job's really cool. Mm-hmm. I work in a library behind Magic Kingdom that manages all the documents for the maintenance and refabrication of all of the animatronics and buildings and facades and everything for specifically for Magic Kingdom, but also anything that Central Shops fabricates or manages.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff going on right now. The Jungle Cruise just closed the other day for a month-long refurbishment, so there's all sorts of pictures of animals and mm-hmm. paint samples and fur samples all over my desk right now.
Oh, so even though you left the Jungle Cruise, you're still, you know, involved with the Jungle Cruise in a certain aspect.
It's really exciting.
You must see a lot of stuff you're not allowed to talk about.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. In fact, there's so many times a day where I just want to pick up the phone and call Kevin and say, hey, you know, there's this thing in my office and it's great and I can't because I signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Right, yes. He doesn't tell me things, folks. It's not where I get my info from.
Let's be clear.
Yes, let's be very, very clear about that. All right, so you ready to jump into the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, awesome. Folks, before we jump into everything, just want to let you know that if you're going to be doing any online shopping coming up and you're using Amazon.com, we invite you to go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com first. Click the Amazon link at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a dime extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small kickback of whatever you buy. So it's a great free way to help out your favorite podcast network. Also, if you're looking to help in a more direct manner, you can always go over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor to make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the network. Help us with the server costs and the bandwidth and the website upkeep and whatnot. Really, really great, really helpful, and it's always so appreciated. We actually want to thank Stacey Gregory right now for her donation. Thank you so much, Stacey. It was so very much appreciated. And folks, also, if you want your voice heard on the show, please give a call into our voicemail line, 804-537-2MEN. That's 804-537-2, MEN. All right, ready to dive into the news, brought to you by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. For all your Disney travel needs, Dave Weikert is planning your Disney vacation at no additional cost to you. So we've got no worldwide news this week, but we do have some resort news. It's very rare that we have resort news on the show. So they are testing currently a direct Magic Kingdom bus service route to the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review and Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. Testing actually began today, April the 20th. Now, you worked in Fort Wilderness. Is this a necessity, you think?
Well, it's definitely... We're coming up on the summer months where we get a lot of rain mm-hmm. down here. And sometimes when the lightning and the wind gets too high, they can't run the boats from Magic Kingdom to the Fort Wilderness. So if you had a reservation at one of these dining experiences, you'd have to take a bus from Magic Kingdom to Wilderness Lodge, and then the bus would continue on to Fort Wilderness.
Oh, really? There's no direct bus to Fort Wilderness from
Magic Kingdom? Well, I think it's the same bus, from what I understand.
Oh, okay.
It's like the same bus goes to the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian when they run a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both monorail resorts. So right. They don't really need it all that much. But, and then from there you need to transfer to another bus that just stays on the inner loop of Fort Wilderness. So usually when they say, give yourself an hour and a half to get to where you need to go, that's one of those scenarios where you absolutely need to give yourself that whole allotment of time.
Mm-hmm.
So having a bus that goes directly there, that's going to be a big thing.
Yeah, that's pretty clutch. I mean, that's awesome how it's... I didn't realize that when it drops you off of Fort Wilderness, you still have to take another inner resort bus. I didn't realize it was so sprawling. I haven't been to Hoop-Dee-Doo in 12 years.
Yeah, definitely the fastest way to get there, especially from the Magic Kingdom, is to get on the boat. Because it's a 15-minute straight shot, and as soon as you get off the boat at the dock, it's a 4-minute walk up the path to Pioneer Hall or the former picnic pavilion for
right.
River Country, where Mickey's Backyard Barbecue is held.
Right. So this bus will run from 4 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., and it is a 4-week test. I'd written down in my notes, is this necessary? Because I didn't realize all this stuff, but apparently, yeah, very necessary. Ready to move on to some Magic Kingdom news?
Oh, yeah.
We always love Magic Kingdom. This is actually right in your backyard right now. And you let me know about this one actually beforehand. I didn't initially have this in my notes. The refurbishment, the super long six plus month refurbishment for Pirates of the Caribbean has been pushed back. This is reported by Disney Doctor, and then I think Disney officially confirmed it. Originally, this was slated for May 11th for a closure, but now it has actually been pushed back to be closing on June 8th, which I guess they wanted to keep it open for Memorial Day.
I think that was the biggest kick, was it wasn't going to be open for the 24-hour day, and it carries a lot of people. There's mm-hmm. a lot of boats going all the time, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but now, like, this refurb, it's pretty needed, right? I mean, you'd worked in the attraction.
I mean, it definitely needs some TLC.
Yeah.
You can see that sometimes the animatronics aren't always up to snuff, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a wonderful attraction, and after the refurbishment, it's going to look even better.
Yeah, yeah, I can only imagine.
In fact, they've already started asking me for some photos and samples to get ready for that coming up.
Oh, that's great.
So
that's great. Epcot news. The Sounds Like Summer concert series lineup has been announced. So this seems like it's a concert series based solely on cover bands.
But looking at the lineup, it certainly does look that
way.
Yeah.
Folks, these concerts are going to be in the America Gardens Theater in Epcot in the World in World Showcase, same place you see like the Christmas processional and everything, right?
Yes, America same Gardens. Theater.
Yeah. So the show times are 5:30 p.m., 6:45 p.m., and 8 p.m. June 7th to 13th, you're going to be seeing DSB, a tribute to Journey, which is a Journey cover band. On the June 14th to 20th, you get my favorite name ever, 2U, number 2, then the letter U, a tribute to U2 tribute band. June 21st to 26th, Mike Del Giudice and Big Shot, a tribute to Billy Joel. June 27th to July 4th, Don't Look Back, a tribute to Boston. June 5th to 11th, Fire and Ice, a tribute to Pat Benatar. July 12th to 18th, Stayin' Alive, a tribute to the Bee Gees. And July 19th to 25th, Hotel California, a tribute to the Eagles. So are you going to be going to any of these, you think?
I will definitely be going to Stayin' Alive.
The Bee Gees?
Oh, yeah. That sounds like it's right up my alley.
No Springsteen, I noticed.
Right. Well, sometimes imitated, never rivaled.
Yeah, exactly. You can't imitate it. It's not like he's Bon Jovi or something like that. Jackie just glared at me from across the room. She loves Bon Jovi.
Hi, Jackie.
And, you know, growing up the way we did, Bruce was a constant.
Oh, gosh.
Yep. So over to Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is, you know, the big thing this week because it is Earth Week. Flame Tree Barbecue's refurbishment has been extended into May. Originally set for March 1st, then April 22nd, now being set to start at May 22nd.
Yeah.
They pushed it back a bunch of times. Now it's closing right before Memorial Day, which is kind of weird.
Well, it should be opening back up right before Memorial Day, right?
I'm not sure how long of a refurbishment it is, but now it's closing on May 22nd.
I thought it was already closed.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. The refurbishment has been extended. Yes, you're right. I read my notes wrong. The refurbishment is extended back into May, so it's going to open up right before Memorial Day weekend. So, yeah, originally this was set to open last month. Then it was set to open 2 days from now, and now it is once again pushed back another month. I guess they're doing some good work there.
From everything I've heard, it's looking pretty good.
Yep, but no fear, folks. You can still get all. You can still get a number of Flame Tree Barbecue signature dishes at other eateries throughout Animal Kingdom throughout the course of the refurbishment. The big news that I was so excited to see: Jiminy Cricket returns to Disney's Animal Kingdom for Earth Week. I mean, that's exciting. Yeah, Jiminy Cricket was only found in Animal Kingdom for a while after they took him out of Magic Kingdom, and then they took him out of there in November of 2011. So he's going to be located in Rafiki's Planet Watch, and that's going to be taking place from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. April 19th through 25th. No word yet on if Disney's going to extend that, but I think I don't speak for myself when I say I hope it becomes a permanent fixture. He's too iconic of a character to not have him in the parks.
Absolutely.
I do think he belongs in Magic Kingdom, though.
Where would you put him if he was in Magic Kingdom?
I don't know. Like, I think I'd put him on Main Street, probably, right in the center of town.
Yeah, I think that would... Maybe, you know where the meeting Mickey and Princess experience lets out in that little gift shop over there?
Yeah.
When you come out and you have the little garden on the side, that would probably be a really cool little place for him to...
Yeah, I mean, the prime location would be, like, over near Pinocchio's Village House, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of... They have been doing a lot of meet and greets over there.
Have they?
Oh, yeah. The Lady Tremaine and the Wicked Steps... The Step Sisters have been out there.
Oh, they're my favorites.
Quite
I
a
love
bit.
Them.
They're phenomenal, let me tell you.
I think the main event of character meet and greets in Magic Kingdom right now is Gaston with all the viral videos.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
what a guy.
Yeah, what a guy, that Gaston. But yeah, so hopefully some of you guys will be able to get pictures of Rafiki in this coming week and post them over in our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. Disney's Hollywood Studios news. We've got a bit of news here. Just actually dropped a few hours ago. Disney has filed plans for a new flex space theater at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's going to be... The recently filed permit includes plans that outline a new theater space between Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. The backstage area has previously been used to host Darth Maul during Star Wars weekends and various events during the old ESPN The Weekend. The new Flex Space Theater being built may indicate that... I'm reading this from WDW Magic because I had no time to copy it down. The new flex space theater being built may indicate that the park's other flex space, the Premier Theater on Streets of America, may soon be closed. The Frozen sing-along that currently plays in locations being located to the Hyperion Theater, which was the former site of American Idol Experience, and closure of the Premier Theater without a replacement would leave the park short of locations of visiting high school bands and other special events. The development is significant because the Premier Theater sits in a key area that is expected to be used by the major rebuild of Disney's Hollywood Studios that is expected to be announced in the coming months. I think that's conjecture, but, you know, we all pretty much know something's coming. It's, you know, sense it in the wind. I'm not even going to ask you for a reaction because
well,
I don't know,
I'm expecting
know things that
it
I can't
to be announced
about.
At D23 in August.
That's what I have been, you know, surmising.
I don't think they're going to announce anything outside of that area. That seems to be their, because when they, in 2010, they announced or not 2010, 2008, right? They announced the new Fantasyland.
Yeah.
Expansion at the very second D23 or D31st. I'm not sure which one it was.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it was, but yeah, D23. Yeah, that was when they did that.
So that should be. Everyone will be waiting with bated breath.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I'm hoping they do the full unveil with the model, like the different new Fantasyland. I mean, that'd be awesome.
Oh, see, I want them to go all out and do another one of the virtual fly-throughs with it. I think that's
really cool. Yeah,
those are so cool.
That would be fairly cool. So finally, in Hollywood Studios news, the Frozen Summer of Fun premium package tickets are now being sold. It is $69 for adults, $39 for kids ages 3 to 9. You get a reserve viewing for the Royal Welcome, reserve seating for choice of one live show of the First Time in Forever sing-along, and you get a fireworks viewing dessert party. No meet and greets during Frozen Summer Fun, I know. So that's the one thing that it doesn't have, is there's no meet and greet with like Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, Olaf. You'd think that would be something they'd put in, but or would be included in something like a premium package, but that would probably cost more.
Well, you know that the dessert party is worth every cent of this package. Oh, yeah, all the Disney dessert parties are just absolutely incredible.
Oh, that's good to know.
Really,
I mean,
really good.
I've never done a Disney dessert party. I'm totally dying to do it.
Oh yeah, the one at Fruwishes at the Tomorrowland Terrace is lights out. Can't be beat.
Oh, I love
it's
that.
It's so good. My roommates just booked the Star Wars premium package.
Yeah, we reported on that yesterday. Not yesterday, last week.
We
were reporting on that. I mean that seems like it could be truly tremendous. Did they get like the deluxe premium package or just the premium package?
I think they just did the basic the premium package.
The one that gets you the one talk show, not all of them.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yep. Okay, cool. Cool. All right, so that is the news this week. Not a huge news week, but you know, we make it work. We draw it out. We bloviate, as was something somebody said in another podcast recently. Okay, so we are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to hear some words from our wonderful sponsors, and then we will be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this.
You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, folks, Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network. And by that, I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope I didn't need explaining. Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com and would like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts, then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men and the Mouse, Mouselanius, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, the world of Disney entertainment, movies and television, Broadway shows, books, everything under the sun that is not a theme park is way too vast for two simple men to wrap their heads around each and every week. So luckily, we bring a woman into the mix. We have got our good friend Hunter Hathaway out in California, our Hollywood correspondent, and every week she is bringing you all the latest and greatest Disney entertainment news in her segment called A Bit of Pixie Dust.
This weekend at the box office, Monkey Kingdom opened in 7th with $4.7 million. Cinderella fell to 10th with $3.8 million. While production is already started in Vancouver, the Walt Disney Studios has announced that will co-produce and co-finance Steven Spielberg's The BFG. The film is based on the novel by Roald Dahl and is set to star Mark Rylance as the BFG and Ruby Barnhill as Sophie. The film is set to open in theaters on July 1st, 2016. Gugu Mbatha-Raw from the Beyond the Lights and Jupiter Ascending is the latest to be cast in Beauty and the Beast. She will be Plumette, the Feather Duster. With all these casting announcements, March 17th, 2017 cannot come soon enough. The first Star Wars anthology film, Rogue One, now has a description. The first official summary says, a rogue band of resistant fighters unite for a mission to steal the Death Star and plans to bring on new hope to the galaxy. This will take place after Episode 3, before Episode 4, but closer to Episode 4. The director, Gareth Edwards, went on to say that the film will not feature Jedi. Their absence is part of the storytelling, and that the idea of a regular group of people without magical powers trying to better the world is what's interesting. If you are a trailer fan, this week has been your week. Ant-Man had their first official trailer come out. looks like a typical Marvel film with amazing action scenes and some comedy tossed in. Ant-Man releases July 17th in theaters. We also got two clips from Avengers Age of Ultron before it's being released on May 1st. The biggest trailer release happened at Star Wars Celebration with the release of the second official trailer for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. All the trailers and clips can be found online if you'd like to view them. Oh, and in some fun Star Wars news, Japan's All Nippon Airways has designed the exterior of a Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner to look like the popular droid R2-D2. They chose R2-D2 because they believe the character represents strength and reliable service. This past week, I watched the first season of Daredevil on Netflix, and without giving away any spoilers, I have some mixed feelings. I really like the action scenes, the casting, and the tone of the series, but in some parts, well, a lot of parts, it just seems slow. It did start to pick up at the end of the 13-episode series, and I am looking forward to a second season if they decide to do one. This was the first in a series of shows that will lead up to a Defenders crossover miniseries. Kobe Smulders, who plays Maria Hill, will be making an appearance on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before the end of Season 2, but she has not said when. Besides seeing her on S.H.I.E.L.D., you can catch her in Avengers Age of Ultron. The Oscar-winning writer and producer of 12 Years a Slave, John Ridley, is teaming up with Marvel for a new superhero television project on ABC. Details are being kept under wraps for now, but EW reports hearing that the project involves reinventing a hero from Marvel's stable of characters. The EW report sounds like Ridley's project is not the same as the recently rumored Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff series, but a separate project entirely. Disney has announced that Frozen will begin to air across its many television stations, ABC, ABC Family, Disney Channel, Disney XD, and Disney Junior, starting in February of 2016. If you cannot wait for the DCOM The Descendants to be released this summer, then run to the computer and check out the first look photos from the film. It looks amazing. Both Sofia the First and Doc McStuffins have been renewed for a fourth season on Disney Junior. All main voice cast will be returning. Are you a Doctor Who fan? Well, Disney XD has announced that we'll begin airing seasons 2 through 4 of the modern incarnation of the show. This is David Tennant's time as the 10th Doctor. Doctor Who will premiere on Disney XD on Saturday, May 9th with Seasons 2, New Earth. Season 2 will then continue to air a month later, beginning on June 13th. New episodes will premiere daily through June 20th. Beginning on June 14th, episodes of the show will be available on the Watch Disney XD app. Hey, Canadian listeners, are you ready? Starting September 1st, Canadian broadcaster Corus Entertainment will launch the Disney Channel for you to enjoy. How much do you love Disney Infinity? Well, it looks like when 3.0 is released, Classic Mickey and Minnie, along with Mulan and Olaf, will be included in the game. No further information on a release. In comic book news, Marvel has announced the newest edition of their Star Wars comic book line, Lando, a new miniseries starring the roguish former leader of Cloud City from The Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi. The 5-issue series will take place before Lando became administrator of Cloud City. With Lobot at his side, Lando looks to steal one of the most valuable ships in the galaxy, but ends up in over his head. Lando number 1 will ship in July. Well, that's all I have for you this week. Check back next week for more Disney entertainment news. You can follow me on Twitter at BitOfPixieDust and check out my website, www.bitofpixiedust.com. And now, back to Kevin and Pete with this week's e-ticket attraction.
Folks, this week is Earth Week here on planet Earth, with Earth Day falling on Wednesday, April 22nd, and no one does Earth Day quite like Disney. On top of their popular nature documentary series, Disney Nature, which releases a new film every year on Earth Day, this important day also marks the anniversary of one of the tent poles of Walt Disney World. On April 22nd, 1998, Walt Disney World opened a brand new theme park for attendees looking to learn about the animals of the planet Earth. Yes, we are talking about Disney's Animal Kingdom. But the ultimate cornerstone of this, the largest theme park attraction in Disney history, was an attraction experience like no other. The ability to feature live animals in an attraction was a dream of Walt Disney's from the very inception of Disneyland. And finally, decades later, one of Walt's ultimate dreams came true with the opening of Kilimanjaro Safaris. So this week, in the E in our e-ticket attraction stands for Earth, as Chris and I are going to bring back Disney in depth, one of our most popular segments here on Two Men and the Mouse, as we take a look in depth at Kilimanjaro Safaris, one of my favorite things to do in all of Walt Disney World.
Oh, man, it's, you know, and the one of the best things to do on a rainy day, too.
Mm-hmm.
The animals love the water.
And oh, really?
Especially because, oh, yeah, especially when it rains and it gets a little cooler out. When it's so, being so hot in Florida for most of the year, that's the time where you're going to see a lot more animal activity. So that's one of the tips I always give to folks who ask me how to do Animal Kingdom is, if it starts raining, get a poncho and just tough it out because you'll see a lot of really neat stuff.
Well, I could tough it out without the poncho, but that's neither here nor there.
Just make sure you're wearing a dark colored shirt.
Yeah, my hatred of ponchos notwithstanding. So, folks, I mean, one thing we touched on in the opening there is this is the single largest Disney attraction in existence.
It's huge.
4,791,600 square feet. To put it in acreage, it's 110 acres. By comparison, the Magic Kingdom is 107 acres. So the entire Magic Kingdom can fit in this one attraction.
And that doesn't include the backstage facilities for all the animals and everything like that,
right?
Does it?
No, I don't think it does. It's just like the attraction proper, like outdoors, like on stage.
That's just gargantuan.
Yep. So this was an opening day attraction that is 22 minutes in duration. And I think one of the main things that I love about Kilimanjaro Safari is you never get the same experience twice.
It's really, it's always unpredictable.
Very.
Which is not something you can say about too many different Disney attractions.
Yeah, no, totally. Absolutely. And like, you know, when you go on it, there's always that sense of excitement that like, oh my gosh, am I going to see the male lion? Am I going to see elephants? Am I going to see, you know, ostriches? What am I going to see? And that is, I think, one of the most exciting things possible about this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure if you've mentioned it lately, but they just had a baby white rhino.
I did. We mentioned that on the show a couple weeks ago, and it's always so exciting when a new baby is born in like on the Pangani Exploration Show when they had the new baby gorilla.
The gorilla.
Yeah.
I think the last time my family was here, they had just started letting the baby out onto the reserve.
Oh, that's so nice. Have you ever been to the backstage area behind Kilimanjaro Safari?
Actually, last time my family was here, we did Wild Africa Trek.
Oh, what now, walk us through, is that like the guided safari?
Yeah, it is a safari on foot through the Harambe Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out actually right at the entrance to Kilimanjaro Safaris. One of the first things that they do is they fit you they fit you with a harness because there's a couple areas where there's absolutely no sort of barrier between you and the animals.
Oh, really?
So they clip you into these harnesses that allow you to get right up to the edge. And this way, if your foot happens to slip, you don't plummet into a pool of hippos.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be good, folks. Hippos,
no, not really.
Hippos may look cute on the outside, and they may wear tutus in Fantasia, but they are not true. An animal you want to splash around in a pool with.
They are lightning fast.
Yes, they are. You know, last time when we were there, when we were you know that one area where you can go and you can see underwater in the hippo lagoon?
Mm-hmm.
A hippo just walked right up to us. It was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, you know, they walk. They sink to the bottom of the water, and they just walk on the bottom of the lake there. But so they fit you for these harnesses, and like, what are you like going? Are you like above the animals? Or
so they have, if next time you're on the safari, look up, because there's a couple areas, especially around the crocodiles and the hippos,
mm-hmm.
where there are these long rope bridges suspended over your head, so you get to literally walk right over the crocodile enclosures and the hippopotamus enclosures.
Oh wow! And so you clipped into a track that runs above your head.
There's a support wire that goes over you, mm-hmm. and you know, it's really sturdy cables and everything like that.
That's great. It's like a rope course.
There's a couple. It is. It's and my mom did it, and if
I'm shocked if you at know, that.
if you know my mom.
Yeah, I am shocked that your mother, my godmother, is walking above crocodiles.
She used to have nightmares about walking over bridges, and ever since she did it, she swears she has not had a single nightmare. So,
wow, now if you can only get her on Soarin', maybe she won't have motion sickness anymore.
Well, there's only so much pixie dust can do.
Exactly. Yeah, Chris's mom and my dad have what I like to call the Kessler family motion sickness gene that activates unknowingly in members of my family randomly. Luckily, it doesn't affect either Chris or myself, but my brother Dan has it. Does your sister have it?
I don't think so. She went on Rock and Roller Coaster with
she's fine.
So I'm pretty sure she's good.
Yeah, she's good. All right, so ready to get into the history of Kilimanjaro Safari, the inception of it.
Love the history.
So, I mean, as I'm sure you know, and as we mentioned briefly in the opening here, Walt always wanted live animals in the Jungle Cruise. The original concept of the Jungle Cruise was that it would be an attraction that would feature live animals, but it was a little too complicated for the times, and experts convinced
Walt...
They
didn't laugh at any of the jokes.
Yeah, exactly. They wouldn't always be there for the jokes. Experts convinced Walt that real animals would just be too unpredictable, and animatronics would be the way to go. So Walt kind of let that one go. Could you imagine having to time your jokes, and as someone who's piloted the Jungle Cruise, you have to time your jokes to whatever real animals are doing?
Oh, I can't even. Sometimes it was hard enough just timing my jokes to the animals I knew would be there.
Right. When they first started planning Disney's Animal Kingdom, it was actually started planning in 1989, a full 9 years before the park would actually open. Kilimanjaro Safari was always deemed doable at that time and was always meant to be the e-ticket cornerstone of the park. I would say that it still is to this day, even with Expedition Everest and whatnot.
I would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. It was overseen by Imagineer Joe Rode, who traveled to Kenya and Tanzania in 1990 to study the wildlife. Tanzania. Yeah, Tanzania.
And Joe Rode still walks around Animal Kingdom whenever he's in Florida. It's his
Does
baby.
He?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
With his little earring.
Yeah. So Joe Rode travels to Africa in 1990 to study the wildlife, and they spent a long time there, just looking at the animals, studying behavior, studying plant life and animal life. I mean, that sounds like it could be one of the coolest aspects of the job, a job that already is so cool being an Imagineer.
I can't. The amount of creativity and thought that needs to go into planning something that you would assume would be very natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible. Yeah. It's really, I can't even wrap my head around it sometimes.
So, folks, Michael Eisner, who was still in charge of the Disney Company at the time, made a decree that the park should focus more on conservation. So a story needed to be developed around this attraction, and the Imagineers got right to work. It's set in the fictional African village of Harambe, which is Swahili for working together. So that's, if you ever want to learn how to say working together in Swahili, it's Harambe. It was themed as a real African village, which acts as a gateway to the savannah. And foliage for the attraction was planted in 1996 because planters wanted the plants to be in place and growing for two full growing seasons before the animals were added. So that's an interesting thing that this was already in and being cultivated for 2 years before a guest ever saw it. So the animal selection process began then once the planters were put in place. So the questions that the Imagineers posed to themselves were, how active are these animals? How easily can they be moved backstage? Can they interact with other animals? What do they eat? And to separate them, they built a series of moats, water fixtures, wires, chains, all placed on the ground that would keep the animals in their respective areas. Obviously, you don't want the lions mixing with the zebras.
Oh, absolutely not.
Or the gazelle. It might cause some issues.
Or an elephant walking over the bridge.
Right.
It can barely support the weight of a truck. How's it supposed to support the weight of an elephant?
Yeah. To encourage the animals to stay in the visible areas to improve guest experience, Disney would place hidden food there, and they would also make the areas, there'd be cool air conditioning blowing out from some of the rocks and things like that, cooling and warming waters and cool breezes, just to make those areas a little bit more comfortable for the animals, make them a space that they want to be. Like, for instance, you always see the male lion whenever he's out on that one perch, that one pride rock-like perch.
Yeah, that's if you see him at all, that's where he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, he sleeps for like what 23 hours out of the day. So if you're lucky enough to catch him, I mean, he's like the main event attraction there, I think.
Oh, I'd say it's between him and the elephants.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? Like, he's not, the elephants aren't as difficult to spot, are they?
No, but they are usually a fan favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume so. But when you catch the male lion, it's such an accomplishment. Like, we saw him for the first time last trip, and it was awesome. So all the animals were actually purchased from zoos and reputable breeders. No animals were taken from their natural habitat for this theme park, which I think is really important to drive home here. It was this was made as an enclosure and a habitat for animals that were already born in captivity. Probably the closest thing they can get to the real savannah without actually being there. So, you know, I think that's great, because I think that when the park was initially conceived, I think a lot of people had the wrong impression of like Disney hunters, like throwing nets over running, wildlife and dragging them away. I was like, this isn't SeaWorld. But I'm sorry. That was a little shoot there from me.
I think the other thing is, a lot of the they want to present animals in the most natural way, but some of animals' natural behaviors might not necessarily fit
a theme park
into an interactive captive environment like that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So maybe having some animals from that were born in captivity and are familiar with that kind of an environment, rather than bringing them in from the wild, would be safer for the guests and safer for the other animals.
Mm-hmm. So the state-of-the-art animal housing facility was also created backstage. Now, as part of this tour that you guys did you guys go into the animal housing facility?
Not this tour, but there is another tour that you can take. The name of it's escaping me at the moment. But I'm sure if you went to waltdisneyworld.com/tours, you could find out.
Yes,
but there is a tour that does go back to the animal.
Have you ever seen it?
I've seen them. I haven't been inside them, but I've driven past them backstage.
Okay, that's pretty.
They are pretty. They're very, very spacious.
I mean, when Jackie and I did Dolphins in Depth, we were so impressed with the housing area for the dolphins. I mean, it was such a nice, wonderful, warm, caring, loving environment that they were in. And so I can only imagine that here it's even better.
I feel it's incredible. It really is. It's like I can't even describe it. I don't even know how to put it into words. It's unlike anything else that you'll see. I mean, I've never been back behind the scenes at a zoo or anything like that, but I can't imagine they have any sort of infrastructure set up like this.
Right. So the original Big Red, Little Red story involving the elephants and the poachers involved a high-speed chase for the final third act of the attraction that was eventually cut down. I believe it wasn't very long in the attraction that was debuted. I think it was just like a short little sprint forward. But originally, like a whole third of the ride was a high-speed chase to catch poachers.
Yeah, I believe that was changed fairly early on in the animals.
Well, the
other
thing,
the attraction's life.
Yeah, the other thing that was changed fairly early was the body of Big Red was removed. Yes, folks, originally, we detailed this on a recent, I think our first ever trivia episode with Corinne Chandler from Mousselini's Discussions and DisneyTrivia.tumblr.com, was that there was originally, you'd see like Big Red like lying on the ground and having been shot by the poachers, but when they did cast member previews for it, the cast members were like, whoa, no, and they took that out, which I think was probably for the best.
Yeah, probably. I mean, when you're an entertainment company based on, presenting to a family audience,
I mean, the last thing you want is like a Bambi's mother moment with Kilimanjaro Safaris, you know?
Well, that's something I didn't even think of. You know, it's kind of been something that at times Disney hasn't been afraid to shy away from.
Mm-hmm. I always did love the animatronic Little Red.
Oh, he's adorable.
He was adorable. He's not there anymore. So ready for a roll call of the animals featured in Kilimanjaro Safaris? There's a lot of them. If you hear one you specifically like, shout it out. The Okapi, Greater Kudu, White-Faced Whistling Duck, Northern Pintail, Nyala, Sable Antelope, Greater Flamingo, Impala. I do like the Impalas.
Is it a 71 Impala?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was trying to get you to make that joke. The Blue Wildebeest, Pink-backed Pelican, Bontebok, Common Aland, Yellow-billed Duck, Thompson's Gazelle, Yellow-billed Stork, Ankle Cattle, Mandrill. I love the mandrills.
Kings don't need advice from them, though. No. Oh, no, that's hornbills. Sorry.
Yes, no, it's hornbills. Mandrills are
Rafiki.
Yeah, Rafiki. Yeah. And I liked when you see the mandrills. I remember they pointed out like the dominant male mandrill. He had like really bright markings on his face.
Yeah,
like the multicolored face.
It's wild that those colors actually exist in nature.
There's a Marvel character named Mandrill. Also, he's a psychic baboon.
That's insane.
Yeah,
I had no idea that he existed.
Yep. So then there's the Dama Gazelle, the Egyptian Goose, the Scimitar Oryx, the Red-billed Teal, Helmeted Guinea Fowl, White-breasted Cormorant, Blue Crane, Bongo. I don't know what a bongo is, but you know, I thought it was just a drum. Apparently it's an animal. It's in Kilimanjaro Safaris. Yellow-backed Duiker, Saddle-billed Stork, the Water Buck, Grant's Zebras, Black Rhinos, White Rhinos, Hippopotami, the Nile Crocodile, the Reticulated Giraffe, which I think is another one of everybody's favorites.
Oh, yeah. The giraffes are incredible. Yeah. And it's really interesting once you understand the difference between a reticulated giraffe and a Maasai giraffe, you'll be able to pick it out every time.
Really?
What
is the difference?
So the reticulated giraffes have very, very defined patterns.
Okay.
And the Maasai giraffes, they're very... It's almost a messy kind of pattern, so messy, Maasai.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's easy to remember. Okay.
If you look at a picture of the two of them next to each other, and then you go to, say, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and you look at them, they have both. So you'll be able to, oh, look, there's a Maasai.
You ever stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge?
I haven't. It's on my list.
I've always felt like, I mean, you know, when you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, it's go safari view or go home. Like...
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like that's part of the allure. Plus, Animal Kingdom Lodge is so far from everything that isn't Animal Kingdom that unless you've got that view of the giraffes and the zebras and whatnot, I mean, like, I mean, that's top notch. I cannot even imagine what it would be like. Dave Weichert, our friend and sponsor on the show, he stayed there and he's at the Savannah Room, and he said he'd wake up, he'd get a little cup of coffee, he'd sit out on the balcony for his room and just watch a giraffe walk by. I mean, it's got to be so cool. So yeah, we have the Maasai giraffe. The warthog, like Pumbaa, the ostrich, which I loved seeing the ostrich eggs also. Did you ever see the ostrich eggs on there?
Yep.
When we were driving by, the ostriches had recently laid eggs, so we got to see the big, massive ostrich eggs. The cheetah, which I've never actually seen them moving. They're usually sitting in the shade whenever I'm on the safari.
I hear they never prosper.
Very good. Very good, Chris. Now you guys see that it runs in the family. It's not just me that makes the lame jokes. The African the African elephants, the lions, the adaks, and I put an asterisk here next to the black vultures.
There are several varieties of animals that are native to Florida and have taken up residency within Safari. Yeah. I don't know that the black vultures are.
They are.
The
black vulture is actually native to Florida, and they are.
Okay.
They're not meant to be part of the attraction. They just kind of hang around waiting for, you know.
Is that the one that they also call the turkey vulture?
I'm not sure if it's also called the turkey vulture. I just know of it as black vulture. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those are weird.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, obviously it's part of nature. The vultures will always hang around, you know, where there are animals. So some changes that have been made over the years. In the holiday season of 1998, when the park first opened, they tried to create a nighttime experience called Kilimanjaro Night Safaris. Animal sounds and glowing eyes were added, and an African dance troupe performed around a bonfire. This was discontinued due to guest complaints about not being able to see the animals and the additional costs associated with keeping it open. So, I mean, you didn't even know that one, right? Because you questioned that before we went on the...
I had no idea.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would assume it was always part of the original
concept
for the park, for it to be a nighttime attraction park as well, which it's going to become again in 2015, but, yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. I can only imagine that it's got to... It can't be, like, very easy to see animals on a safari like that at night, because you'd have to, like, light the area, and they don't really want to do that, I'm sure.
I'm really interested to see how they're going to do it.
Me too.
I know that there's certain times of day right after sunset, where they bring night vision goggles out to the savannah at the Wilderness Lodge, not Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge. Lodge, and
that's
they have
cool.
cast members out there that can, you know, kind of provide you with a little bit more instruction and information.
Oh, how cool.
I'm wondering if there's something along those lines, or if they're gonna, I don't know. It's an interesting challenge.
Mm-hmm. In February 2012, Disney announced the discontinuation of the Big Red Little Red poacher storyline. The animatronic Little Red was removed on April 29th, 2012, and construction began for the new final scene. On October 24th, Plains zebras were added in its place, with all mentions of Little Red and the poachers removed from the attraction. I like this. I, for one, go on the safari not for the fabricated poacher story. I go on for the animals. So
it's an important message.
It is, yes.
Know, it's not, especially in America, it's not necessarily something we think about
no.
on a daily basis. But you know, when you live in Africa, especially in the countries that have these, you know, these preserves on them, poachers are a real problem, and it's not just the animals that they kill. If you try and get in their way,
right,
they're not afraid to take you down too. So that's, you know, the main part of one of the main missions of Animal Kingdom is to provide awareness. And I think that was an important part of that,
yeah.
important part of that storyline. But I agree, it maybe not the best.
Yeah, I'm assuming some of the masters out there are laughing to themselves right now, because Pete and I had a long conversation about the poachers on a recent episode, and it got a little silly. did you hear that one?
I haven't gotten to listen to that one.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
a little bit behind.
No, that one. It's kind of
about
yeah. It's kind of
six episodes.
It's kind of become legendary with our friends around the world. So 4 months after the Plain Zebras were put in, they were removed, citing acclimation issues, and replaced with the Attixes. From what I heard, the zebras were being a little too aggressive with each other, and some of them were even biting the vehicles.
Ooh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what I read it online, so it's unconfirmed, but that's what I read. But the zebras, I guess they figured it out, and the zebras were returned in June of 2014, 2 years later. The nighttime safaris will return in 2015 with the possible inclusion of spotted hyenas. That's a rumor that I heard.
That sounds cool
because hyenas will be an animal that will be more active in the nighttime. I think if you're going to do a nighttime safari, I think you need to add some more nocturnal animals.
Oh, you know, one thing that they might be able to do with the nighttime safari, you know, when the Jungle Cruise runs at night, there are lights on the boats so that you don't have to necessarily light the areas. You just have to light the immediate area around the vehicle.
Hmm.
So there's a possibility for something they might be thinking up.
Yeah, definitely. So on the queue, the queue takes you to the Kilimanjaro Safari booking office. The answering machine gives an advertisement whenever the phone rings. Pre-ride, you see various exotic birds, and the monitors give you the backstory on Harambe. Wildlife researcher Catherine Jobson introduces herself and informs the guests about Harambe. Guests also meet Wilson, as in Sawasawa Wilson, Wilson Matua, who speaks to them through the monitor. He's the head warden of the reserve, who uses military training and a plane to search for poachers.
Simba won.
We found Big Red. Yeah, I love Wilson. He's one of the key parts of the attraction.
I think Disney would make millions if they printed a bumper sticker that says, "My other car is Simba won."
Oh, that would be awesome. I would get that. I mean, there's already one that's, "My other car is a Doom Buggy." But
my other ride is a monorail.
Yeah. So some fun facts. Imagineers placed 2.3 million plants in this attraction. That's a lot of plants.
That's incredible. Yeah. I'm wondering if they were even able to keep all of them on property.
Oh, I don't even know. I mean, like, at this point in time, like, when you're creating, like, you can't use any natural Orlando fauna at this point in time because it doesn't go with the African savanna. You got to use all, you know, plants that are from outside at that point, I think.
You know, I think there's probably a happy blend because everything has to be able to thrive in this environment. So
mm-hmm.
maybe not necessarily the exact plants that are coming from Africa, but things that kind of are in the same family, give you the same aesthetic.
Yeah. 1.5 million cubic yards of dirt had to be moved for the construction of this attraction. It's a lot of dirt.
Mind-boggling.
According to Joe Rohde, there was once a bloody zebra carcass that was used as a carnivore drinker. So it was obviously a fake bloody zebra carcass. But like the lions and stuff would come and drink out of it, and it would look like, you know, they were feasting. Apparently it made some people upset, so it was removed. Go figure. The Flamingo Island, where the Great Flamingos are, is a giant hidden Mickey, which I'm sure we've all noticed. If not, you'll definitely notice it next time.
It's hard not to, hard to unsee once you've seen it.
Yeah. I love that giant hidden Mickey. I actually, one of our trivia questions in our first trivia episode was like, it was like our first trivia question out the gate was, where can you find the biggest hidden Mickey on property? And I said Animal Kingdom because I figured, oh, it'll Flamingo Island. And I didn't realize that Hollywood Studios itself is a hidden Mickey. So initially, before the park opened, there were a number of unfortunate animal deaths from disease, toxic exposure, and maternal killings. But the new U.S. Department of Agriculture investigated and found no violations of the Animal Welfare Act. So Disney was not at fault for any of that. It was just, you know, that's just sometimes what happens. The vehicle, Simba One, is a custom-built GMC and Ford trucks that were created specifically for the attraction. The roadbed is constructed of dark brown colored concrete embedded with permanent tire ruts. And all of those little dips and divots that you take in there, folks, those are intentionally put in there. So it's not, the road is not in disrepair. It is made to be authentic. Just like the rickety bridge is not actually rickety.
Another fun fact, you know, everything is very eco-friendly, especially at Animal Kingdom. No plastic straws for the animals to choke on or anything like that.
Right.
All the vehicles run on natural gas.
Really? Well, that's a really cool green little green snippet for us there.
Prevent off-gassing to, not off-gassing, but keeping the trucks from...
Like putting out exhaust.
Exhausting the animals.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really... So much thought is put into the care of these animals in Animal Kingdom. It really is an awesome place. So the music snippet from the elephant area, like when you're driving and Simba One has the radio on, is called Hapa Duniani, and it's performed by the music band African Dawn.
Such a great song.
I love it. We actually played it at the beginning of the segment because we love it so much. Or we will. Chris doesn't know that yet because I put it in post.
Hey.
Yeah. So, I want to hear what some of our friends around the world had to say about this, Chris.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to check in with our friends around the world, as we like to do at all times. Okay, so in the beginning, we have two voicemails, which I want to get to right now. So without any further ado, here are the voicemails.
Hi, Kevin and Pete. It's Katarina Dupre calling from Provo, Utah. I just wanted to tell you my favorite story of Kilimanjaro Safaris. It involves the old story with Big Red and Little Red. It was my very first time riding Kilimanjaro Safaris. I think it was when I was in seventh grade. And I thought the story was really cool that we were going to go on a two-week expedition in Africa. And I thought it was so fun. And then I love that we got to save the baby elephant. I know you guys aren't fans of the story, but I loved it when it was there. And I still love the ride nowadays. Thanks again for everything that you guys do. I love listening to the podcast. And can't wait to listen to this week. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Kevin and Pete, Scott Parney from New Jersey. One of the things I love most about Kilimanjaro Safaris, and I know this is going to be mentioned over and over again by everyone, but how interactive the ride is with the animals. I mean, you get so close, right up next to animals that you would never see or never even come close to in a zoo. I mean, you'll be right next to a rhino, and then all of a sudden there's a giraffe right next to your ride vehicle, and it's so cool, and short of getting on a plane for 18 hours and traveling to South Africa, you're never going to get that experience here in the United States. So that's what I love most about it. It's a great ride, and it's one of the best in Animal Kingdom. Thanks again, and have a great day.
All right, awesome. We always love when you guys dial in, and we always invite you to each and every week by dialing 804-537-2MEN, 804-537-2 MEN. And let's get to what you guys had to say on the Facebook discussion group over at facebook.com/groups/2MEN and the Mouse. Tim Mubbing Jr. says, I love how the animals have large areas to roam around in, and they look like they can go anywhere that they want, but the barriers between areas are well-designed and hidden so that we cannot see them. I mean, I'll never forget, like, you know, my dad kind of getting scared and questioning out loud as to what's keeping the black rhino from the car. Paul Towernicki says, like everything Disney, it's very well themed. The animal habitats, the vehicles, even the queue. As you walk through the queue, ride the vehicle and enter the actual safari, you no longer feel like you're in Florida. You don't feel like you're in a zoo. You don't feel like you're in a zoological park because as far as your eye can see, you don't see any obvious barriers or fences. Keith White says, I figured it was easier to show you than tell you. Well, it's a radio show, so telling might have been a good idea too. But he says, in this picture, we had to stop for about a minute until the giraffes decided to pass. I also love the guide pictures in the ride vehicle as well. So he posted a picture here of the giraffe right up next to the vehicle, which is pretty cool. Joshua Brennan says, love this attraction. It's unique and has the potential for a vastly different experience every time. I remember once when we were on it, the audio for the fictional poacher's chase was not working, but the driver still had to drive along as if the audio was still playing. The end result was random accelerations and sudden stops that didn't make any sense. We still loved it. That's awesome.
Sometimes you just got to go with the flow.
Yep. Sarah Bressner Erickson said, I love when an animal ends up in the road/path and you have to wait before you can proceed. So cool to be that close to the animals. I love the theming in the queue too. Tara Dawn says, this is a great attraction. The theming is excellent. Each ride through is unique. I love seeing the giraffes. And once I saw a baby rhino that was too cute for words. So
they are just so precious. And then they grow up to be like
enormous
mammalian bulldozers.
Yeah. Bernie Dawson says, there was this one time we were on a leisurely drive through the savannah, enjoying the peaceful view of the antelope, when all of a sudden we got word that poachers were chasing a baby elephant that we affectionately called Little Red. So we took off at breakneck speed, throwing caution to the wind as we sped across a rickety old bridge and almost plunged to our demise in order to save our little friend from this evil band of poachers. Sounds like they had quite the adventure.
I bet that almost never happens.
I know, seriously. What a unique experience.
Oh, man.
By the way, did you know that every time I go to Muppet Vision 3D, Waldo speaks directly to me?
I bet everybody else thinks they're talking to them, though.
Every time. Every day. It's like being the rebel spy every time you walk in there. and finally, Kay Pern said, when we were there in September, we got to see the new baby gorilla. That was awesome. And anytime the lions are up and moving around, that's my favorite. So, a lot of opinions out there from our friends around the world.
Very cool. So it's a really great community that you guys have built up. I enjoy following it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's something that gives that gives me a lot of happiness knowing that we have so many friends, all around the world that share our passion for Disney and like to contribute each and every week to the show. Whether they're sending in voicemails or writing in the Facebook discussion group or writing us a nice review on iTunes or listening on Stitcher and iTunes and www.whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. It's always very much appreciated, and I absolutely love it. And I love everyone that listens to this show. It's listened to on 6 different continents. And once penguins get Wi-Fi, we'll have all 7, mark my words.
Oh, man, if I ever get to Antarctica, I'll definitely listen.
Yeah, just pop it downloaded in Antarctica just so that we can say
exactly,
all 7.
Just so I can say I listened to it on the 7th continent.
Yes. okay, so do you have anything else you'd like to add about the attraction? I know your roommate is actually a driver for the
Spire. Yeah, well, right? one of the coolest stories that she has, I think, I'm not sure that it was on there, but they have Springbok, these little...
Springbok?
Yeah, they're like these little... They're in the antelope family. They're kind of tiny.
Okay.
And when they get scared, they just jump into the air.
Okay.
Like just vertically leap. And they can... I forget how high it is they can jump. She's not home to even ask.
Okay.
But they freak out. And they
that's awesome.
I mean, it doesn't happen all that frequently. They're pretty used to everything that they see during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try and scare them.
But the operators, they're actually driving that vehicle. I mean, it's not on a track.
Oh, yeah, there's no track or anything like that. They're legitimately operating that vehicle.
Yeah. Which I mean, it's got to be, and you have to know so much. I think it's got to be one of the most challenging, attraction jobs to have on property because you have to really be an expert.
Yeah, I forget how long their training is. I know just driving the trucks takes several days to figure out.
Mm-hmm. You're also driving over uneven terrain, and it's got to be. And just to be able to, we listed all those animals, and you don't see every single one of those animals on every single trip to the safari, so they have to know. They have to know, oh, okay, there's an okapi, and this is what I know about the okapi. They have to know every single one of those animals. I think that's very impressive. My friend Chris Callahan is one of the operators on the safari as well, which actually proves that they don't have to be smart to get the job. But yeah, I know. Bazinga. But it's got to be one of the coolest jobs to have in all of Walt Disney World.
Oh, the other fact that's really neat, the Ankole cattle, the ones that have the huge goalpost upright horns on them.
Yeah.
They look like Texas Longhorns except on steroids. Their horns are like a personal air conditioner for them. Their blood flows through their horns, and they have like a honeycomb structure on the inside, so they're really lightweight.
Hmm.
When the blood circulates through them, it has this capillary action, and it cools their blood down, and it circulates it back to the rest of their body, so it actually brings their body temperature down. And if you ever try to cut their antlers off, mm-hmm. their horns off, they bleed out. So they're actually not, it's like the horns aren't a status symbol. Having Ankole cattle on your land is considered a status symbol in
wow.
Africa.
So, that's so cool.
That's what proves that you're wealthy, is that you can dedicate a lot of, and they take up a lot of space because they're so big.
They're huge, yeah.
So that, you know, saying I have all this land that I can dedicate just to these animals is very,
I've got so much land. I'm giving it away.
Opulence.
I'm giving it away to these cattle that have weird.
You want grass? You can have all the grass you want.
They got these weird air conditioner horns. I just gave them land. That rich.
Oh man, that's like African Tony Stark rich.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling it Ankole rich.
Oh man,
like, man, he is rich. He's like Ankole cattle rich.
Man, that's funny.
All right, so anything else you wanted to add about Kilimanjaro? Are we about done?
That's all I got, man.
All right. Well, without any further ado, that's going to do it for 2 Men in the Mouse this week. I want to thank our very special guest, Chris. Thank you so much for being here, helping me out. You know, it was a very last-minute thing, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. And I'm sure all the mouses around the world do as well. Much better than not having a show this week or me having to do a best-of show. And really great that you came on. This is a really perfect topic for you to talk about.
Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say, out of all the podcasts I've been on, this is by far the most recent.
Yes, I'm sure.
In all seriousness, no, this has definitely been one of them.
Yep. Thank you very much. See, folks, it really does. It's really, it's in the blood. Please, folks,
I had a lot of fun.
I did too.
So
I really did. Please give our social media pages some love, folks. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/2meninthemouse. We're on Twitter at 2meninthemouse. Instagram is 2meninthemouse. And Pinterest at www.pinterest.com/2meninthemouse. Also, you can join in the Disney conversation along with us and all of our great friends from around the world in our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/group/2meninthemouse. Please tweet us or tag us in photos of you guys in the parks throughout the years. We always love seeing it. We always appreciate being included in your memories. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@2menandthemouse.com. If you want to specifically reach out to Pete or me directly, I can be reached at kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and Pete is at pete@2menandthemouse.com. Folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it with your friends and family members. Tweet it out, talk it up. Give us a rate and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us tremendously, and it's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. If you love Peter Mandel, and who doesn't, you can find him in his comic book store, Rogue Comics, at Cranford, New Jersey, 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or you can visit him online at roguecomics.com, or you can find a link to Pete's eBay store, where he's always got a lot of great merchandise up for sale. Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, you name it. A lot of Disney stuff, too. Folks, if you love Hunter Hathaway and her Bit of Pixie Dust segment, you can check her out on Twitter, follow her at Bit of Pixie Dust, or go to her website, www.bitofpixiedust.com. And over at our sister podcast, Mouselaneous Discussions, you can check out our good friend Corinne Chandler, co-host over there, and her Disney Trivia blog, disneytrivia.tumblr.com. Also from that show, you can check out our good friend and co-host Kate Smith over at YoHoYoHo, bloggerslifeforme.blogspot.com, where Kate is always sharing cast member stories and Disney recipes that also we feature on Mouselaneous Discussions. If you
are planning, those are a lot of good recipes too.
Have you looked at them?
Oh yeah, I've made some of them.
Oh yeah, they're great, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Folks, if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, Disney Cruise, any of the Disney parks throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please give our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, drop him a line. Dave will book your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Dave Weikert takes care of everything so you don't have to, folks, and it does not cost you a dime. You can find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him, dave@magicaltravel.com. And for me, folks, I just ask that you check out all the wonderful, great programming here we have on the White Dragon Podcast Network, and you can find all of that at www.whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. Chris, anything to plug? Any Twitter account or anything?
Not at the moment. I'm not really big on Twitter yet.
Oh, okay.
But
well, I'm sure you'll establish a presence.
Yeah, it's like I'm. Yeah, like I'm really like I'm not an early adopter there at all.
Right. folks, thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Chris, any closing words?
I'm all set.
All right.
Thanks for having me again.
No problem. This was absolutely my pleasure to have you on here, man. I hope to have you on again sometime.
Oh, that'd be great. Looking forward to it.
Yep. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.